Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
What a week it's been, and it ain't over yet, folks. I'm joined in studio by political correspondent with the Journal.ie, Christina Fain, former Minister for Transport, Tourism and Sport, and Sunday Independent columnist Shane Ross. From our Waterford studio by Sinn Féin TD for Waterford, David Cullinan, and Fine Gael TD for Louth, Fergus O'Dowd joins us on the line from Kerry, I think, where he has broken his holidays. And thank you very much, Fergus. Let us begin, please, with the ongoing fallout from the supposed farewell gathering in the Merrion Hotel. The messaging around COVID-19 has been very confused. The communications, an awful lot of the time during the course of the pandemic. But last night really did end up taking something of a biscuit. Junior Minister Sean Kyne was on primetime and had this to say in response to a question about not breaking the law, but did they break the guidelines?
The law appeared on the 4th of July.
And nobody mentioned it in the meantime.
July. I appreciate that, but the fact of the matter is the law is there. The law clearly states that the event that took place in the Merrion Hotel was lawful.
So it was lawful, but it didn't meet the guidelines. Is that what you're saying?
That's basically it. It was said it appeared under a statutory instrument.
So the guidelines were breached then?
The law wasn't breached. The law,
but the guidelines
were clear under a statutory instrument. The guidelines, yes.
So he was saying that the guidelines were breached when, in fact, the guidelines weren't breached. Fergus O'Dowd, is it really too much to expect of you and your colleagues that you should know when the law has and hasn't been broken and when the guidelines have and haven't been breached?
Well, it's very clear, first of all, that the event took place properly and under due process, which was within the law.
Which we all know and we all accept. This is about the communications and the messaging.
Sure, but I'd like just to make the point that there was nothing wrong, incorrect or inappropriate or improper about, first of all, having the event because it was allowed legally. And secondly, that the Taoiseach they attended, as indeed did, I think, Ivana Bacik and senior civil servants as well. And I presume they did what the Taoiseach did, was checked, first of all, with the person that invited them, Captain Sapone, and the Taoiseach on arrival in the hotel checked as well. So everything was done properly and appropriately.
Established and agreed already, Fergus. This is about the communication and the messaging is still a mess.
Well, as you know yourself, like COVID, it changes every week, every month. The regulations themselves and how we deal with this appalling evil disease has changed, I think, over 30 times at least by the HSE. And each time it changes, obviously, things change literally. And what has changed even today is that there's further clarity you were discussing earlier in relation to outdoor events and music and so on.
Well, I'm not sure that there's clarity. Changing. There's further detail. We haven't got clarity on that detail yet. Right, there you go, is another problem.
But Philip, the point is, it does change and it has to change because how we're fighting this disease is what is working for us. Over 6 million people in Ireland, over 6 million vaccines have been given out, 75% have got the vaccines. We're now trying to protect our school children, and children aged between 12 and 16 can now register
Fergus,
for vaccination.
You're not addressing the point here, and the point is that you just don't seem to know what the message is, even when it is as crucial as saving your party leader's skin.
Well, I think the point here is that as Sean Kyne said last night, the statutory instrument, the legal document on gov.ie has been there since the 29th of June, and that is exceptionally clear, and there's no doubt about it. The issue then was that the guidelines, which were introduced by Fáilte Ireland, didn't pick up on that issue, and there was ambiguity about that, which has now been clarified, and I appreciate the point that you rightly say. There's further, I don't know exact detail of it all, it only came out about 10 past 11 this morning, but the question is, are things improving? The answer is yes. Are more people getting the vaccine? They are. Are we winning the battle? We are. And like, obviously mistakes have been made, absolutely. But the reality is that the Taoiseach in particular acted appropriately and properly at all times. And that is the truth of the matter.
Christina Finn, Fergus O'Dowd is doing a manful job there, isn't he, of making it seem like the government is in control of the messaging.
Yeah, and the fact is, throughout this pandemic, they really haven't been. Yes, 200 people were allowed in outdoor events on that regulation, that statutory instrument, since July. But the real ambiguity here is around guidance and advice, and I say that in inverted commas, versus what is actually law. And it has always been an issue throughout this pandemic. Even in February, Human Rights Body came out to say that the government had been blurring the lines between legal requirements and what was set out in guidelines. In April, some great work from professors in Trinity Law Department, Oran Doyle, was looking specifically how the government was debating whether we could have people in our back gardens when the law didn't say anything about not having people in your back gardens. And Shane Ross would probably remember, even last summer, we set up a system of a green list of countries. Other European countries were allowing, people were travelling and going on holidays here. We were allowed to do that, but the messaging coming out from government at the time was that international travel was banned. And then we've had other issues as well with what is regulation, what is law. We've had the infamous remarks from Micheál Martin about takeaway pints being over, when the fact was that the law did not state that they were over, no changes had been made in the off-licensing act, but that still resulted in countless businesses ending that service based on what was guidelines versus advice and what was law. And right up to before this debate, we were talking about communions and confirmations and what was allowed and what was not allowed. And again, none of this being set
out
in law.
That's some litany that you've just gone through there, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so how is anyone meant to know, really, whether they're coming and going? And this whole event, I think, has really bookended it for the government in terms of putting regulations. People abide by the law. That's how you're meant to live your life, how you, you know, deal with traffic legislation and all the rest. This is how people, you know, follow the rules. But we see that guidelines are set up by bodies such as Fáilte Ireland and other outside agencies, and it's almost like it's a stop, it's a way for government to distance themselves from governing and setting out some sort of leadership on this.
David Cullinan, do you have any sympathy for Fergus O'Dowd, I wonder, being pushed out here when, quite obviously at this stage, no Fine Gael senior minister seems to be prepared to come out and spend any political capital in trying to rescue the situation?
Oh, well, I can hear Fergus laughing in the background. First of all, I think it's Leo Varadkar is the problem here. He's the person that's at the centre of this scandal or controversy. And in fact, he has been in hiding now for the last number of weeks, and no senior government representative.
And was asked to come on this programme this morning.
And multiple programmes, but no government minister has made themselves available. There are so many problems here with this that it's hard to know where to start. And if you go back to that primetime programme last night, where against Sean Coyne said that, in his view, that the Tánaiste had not broke the law, as in the regulations, but did breach the guidelines. He also said that the guidelines were being revised to reflect what happened over the last week, and what happened last week was the event in the Merion Hotel. And he also said, and this was echoed by the industry itself, that one of the problems was that if it was permissible that you could have an outdoor event, a social event, up to 200 people, that that was not communicated to the sector. And here's the problem. It is the Tánaiste himself who negotiated with the sector over the course of the last number of weeks. And how is it the case that the Tánaiste was not aware of what the guidelines precisely meant? The Tánaiste himself had to ring the hotel to inquire. The industry was saying, we were unaware. We were turning away bookings. As Christina said, you have confirmations and communions and other events and birthday parties that weren't going ahead. People were abiding by the guidelines. And it is so confusing. And then all of this goes back to the much bigger scandal of the fact that this was the product of a deal that was done between a former government minister and a current government minister. Mm-hmm. A backroom deal to make up a position for a former government minister that backfired, that type of crony politics that people don't want to see. And that's the message.
She might have been very good at that job. Would you not concede that?
Well, she may have been good at the job, but so would many other people. The problem is that you cannot have a situation where there is a reverse approach from a former government minister to a current government minister to make up a position. That's not what people want. That's not accountability or transparency. Okay. And the fact of the matter is, and I'll say this to Fergus directly, Fine Gael are out of touch with the people. They have been in government for too long. They think they can get away with these things. They can ride it out, and they cannot, and they have to be held to account. And the Tánaiste needs to come out out today, not tomorrow or next week. He needs to come out today and answer questions to the media, because he can't keep hiding when this scandal keeps on going, because I think he has damaged the overall public health message.
He has all our numbers because we've given them to him. Shane Ross, was there any need for Fine Gael to drag the Attorney General into this? Because look, if the law was the law, just show us the statutory instrument, say, there you go, folks, that's all the proof that you need. But Fine Gael dragged the Attorney General into this to provide them with political cover, didn't he?
Yeah, they were desperate, I think, at this situation. They needed some sort of political cover because they were in such a mess. Because the result of this, I think, is that the entire nation is confused at this stage. This morning, they do not know what the guidelines are. They do not know what the rules are. They're being changed every half an hour, as far as I can see. They changed just before we came on the air, what the guidelines were on this particular issue. And, you know, I feel very sorry for Sean Kine, I must say, because he was sent out to bat last night, presumably with his message, and his message was that the guidelines were breached. The message this morning is that that's been reversed, and they've had to send out Fergus O'Dowd to carry that message. Now we're in a situation where we haven't had a single member of a cabinet, which is the cabinet coming out, who could throw some light on this crisis. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me, this, because I think that patronage and this sort of behaviour, and particular political patronage, which is at the back of all this, is endemic in the Irish party system. You know, this situation with the appointment, which is behind it all, doesn't surprise me, because this time last year we had an appointment of a Supreme Court judge where we had a similar situation, similar outcry. They said it'll never happen again. What you get, first of all, is you get the apology, and then you get the remedy. The remedy is always a bit of a fiction, a bit of dressing up. And you're going to get now, you wait and see, you'll get them come out saying mea culpa, all in a row with a message there, okay, saying it won't happen again. And they'll set up a system for an end of cronyism, which will just be a little bit of window dressing, and we'll have another crony crisis in about a year's time.
I wonder, is Shane Ross reading the room right there, though, Christina Finn? I mean, are people really angry about the patronage/cronyism question, or are they more concerned that the Taoiseach ruled out communions and confirmations a week before he skipped gaily across Merrion Row into the Merrion Hotel to a very non-essential, the absolute definition of a non-essential function that he felt that it might be nice to go to?
Yeah, well, I think nobody's really questioning Sapone's credentials for this job, but it really is a mess of their own making, because time and time again we've had appointments like this, or there's been some issue with somebody getting a job, and there doesn't seem to have been an open process for someone else to put their CV in for that. It could have been well flagged early on that if they wanted to give her that position, that they needed to have an open and fair process. And if at the end of the day she got the job, then there could have been no, you know, scrutiny of that, or no questioning of that. But I just don't think having an event in the Merrion a couple of days before this appointment was announced or came out of cabinet, it should have been foreseen. It's a clear communications issue.
Let me bring David Cullinan in on that one, though, because, David, I wonder if government is to be nimble, if it's be able to sort of take advantage of a situation. I will bring you in, Fergus, don't worry, but just let me put this point to David first. If government is to be nimble, if it is to be able to react quickly, seize opportunities, surely it should be able to appoint people to minor positions without having to go through a tedious and a lengthy, almost, you know, public tendering process.
But that's not what this was, Philip, because this wasn't a position that existed that had to be filled. This was a position that was made up, and it seems was made up on the back of a reverse approach from the person who got the job and now had to step away. And there was no accountability.
Yeah, you're filling in a few blanks there that we haven't quite gotten yet.
And we haven't got them because the people who are responsible for it haven't been in a position to talk to the media. So I'm quite happy if Catherine Sapone wants to come onto your programme, or if the Taoiseach wants to come onto your programme to correct anything I'm saying.
13 minutes remaining.
My Exactly. My view is that this was stroke politics. And I think that when you make up positions like this and you gift them to somebody, which comes with a salary and expenses that are paid for by the taxpayer, notwithstanding that person's credentials, it does anger people, because it's not the first time that Fine Gael and the Tánaiste has been mired in this type of scandal of favours for friends. And as Shane said, every time we get the apology, we'll be told this will be fixed. And it isn't fixed. And I go back to what I said earlier. I genuinely believe that they just are in government for too long. They're so out of touch and they just don't get the fact that people are angry. And I think they are angry about the issues in relation to the guidelines and the confusion. Of course they are. It's been a tough 15 months. But they also get angry when they see this type of politics for insiders. And if I can make one quick point, after the last election, people voted for change. And people like Fergus were scratching their heads wondering what change meant. Well, here's an illustration of what it means. It means accountability and transparency, and no more of this type of cronyism and backroom deals.
Fergus O'Dowd, you're out of touch. You need to be out of government.
Well, I wouldn't expect anything else from David Cullinan, so I'd take that as his normal speech. What I would say is this. Both the Tánaiste and Minister Coveney have both issued statements in relation to this. They both said that mistakes were made, and clearly they were. There's no doubt about that.
Do you really think that a statement is going to get you out of the hole you're in?
Well, the point I wanted to make is this. The other thing that's equally true, it's the opposite side of these arguments, is that Ireland is now sitting around the table at the Security Council of the United Nations, and Everett has an opportunity to influence world opinion in other countries where LGBT issues are not addressed and are not respected. And there's nobody more qualified in this country than Catherine Zappone to do exactly that. She is a fantastic commitment change. Now, let me make this point,
please. That hasn't been the
point. No, but you didn't interrupt anybody else, and I want to make this point. I want to make it exceptionally clear that nobody has the experience that she has, both in government and out of it, for fighting for the rights of people and also for addressing issues around the right to conscience and the right to freedom of expression. Whatever mistakes were made about the appointment, and clearly the biggest one was not telling the Taoiseach about it, the fact is that she is the best person that I'm aware of for that job, and the talk of cronyism and all of that, it doesn't wash with the reality. If we want to increase our influence worldwide, if we want to address issues with somebody who's head and shoulders, their whole lives is dedicated to that.
All right.
You know, and we did make a mistake in not telling people about that, but
we get your point.
The other point I want to make is that when you talk about the Tánaiste skipping across to the Merion Hotel, he didn't pick the Merion Hotel. He's a busy man.
The fact is, the Merion didn't have to go. It was far from an essential engagement.
But what would David do if he was invited to a former Sinn Féin, official?
Now that you put it to him in that context, I think we know exactly what he's going to say.
He would definitely go there. But he would do one thing, and Leo did. He asked, "Is it under proper guidelines? Is it run properly?" The answer is yes.
He asked the hotel, was it done properly?
The answer is yes. So let's tell the truth about the other side of this debate here.
But
if you're invited anywhere, David, as
What's
I am, say to a constituency issue,
Fergus,
the first thing you do
gone?
Is you ring up.
Would you have gone, Fergus? Would you think that it qualifies as good political leadership now to attend any event, given that you know where we are?
I'm invited to events all the time, and they're all held under COVID rules.
And
I went to one recently. Of course I go. But I check first.
You don't think that there's anything inappropriate about that?
This is a launch of a government document, for instance, the latest one I was at. Of course I go. It was in the open air. We launched.
Catherine Zappone was saying goodbye 17 months after she had lost her seat. It's hardly an essential engagement for the Tánaiste
I don't agree. Shane Ross, and he's a former minister, he lost his seat as well. If he had something in the Merion Hotel or some other hotel, if I was invited and if it was held outdoors under rules, of course I'd go, Shane. So you should have to have that.
I want to bring Shane in, but not on what his farewell party was like.
Fergus wouldn't be invited either.
I hope he's gone, by the way. Would you invite me, Shane?
No way.
I'd still go anyway.
Stop with all the acrimony, boys, yeah. Please. Was this ever, Shane Ross, about Catherine Zabone's suitability for the job?
Not at all. Of course not. There was no advertisement. There was no competition. It wasn't about that whatsoever. She had defensible credentials. Of course she did. But there was no competition. No, it was not open to anybody else. This is part of the disease. They automatically go and pick their friends, people who are sympathetic, and then they fit them up for the job. Unfortunately, that's the way things are in this country. And, you know, I was in cabinet with Fine Gael for 4 years. And some of them have been in cabinet for 10 years, which is far too long for anybody to be in cabinet continuously. And that's why they get these attitudes. But one of the big battles, the biggest battle we fought, was their constant attempts to put people of their preference onto the judiciary and into other semi-state jobs. And that was a never-ending task which took up an enormous amount of energy because they wanted to put their own people through there. And it's endemic in them. It's not just tribal, it's also arrogance. They think
they're just the best.
Well, wait a minute, let me finish, sir, folks.
Sure.
They think that they are the best people, they have the best people to appoint, and they always happen to be people who are sympathetic to Fine Gael. That really
is... All positions are advertised, Shane.
But the minister makes them...
Hold on a second. Yeah. People apply for most of those positions. I know in this case this didn't happen.
Judges' positions aren't advertised.
About judges.
Well, I am. I'm talking about judges.
You're talking about semi-state bodies and all of that.
Yeah.
And all of those are advertised, all of them. And you know that, and you appointed people under that due process yourself. So don't try and paint it a different colour, Shane. You are right about judges, and that is being addressed, and you were successful, and I support you in what you did there. Mm. But the fact is, things have changed in our country. They need to change more. They need to change more. And the government is learning, and Fine Gael are learning real lessons from all of this, I can assure you of that. I'm a backbencher. My voice is as vocal and as anybody else is at our party meetings, and it will be heard on this issue. But I go back to the key point. Catherine Zabone was exceptionally qualified for this role. She was,
Shane,
as I keep saying.
Shane Ross.
And people know that.
Shane Ross, what do you make of the state of relations between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael now?
I think it's probably not as bad as people say. I think that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have a great understanding, particularly on issues of this sort. And they let Fianna Fáil let this one through. Remember, they were bounced into this and they accepted it. There wasn't a murmur in cabinet in opposition to this appointment because they are used to this sort of thing happening and it'll be their turn next.
Well, will there not be shins being kicked under the cabinet table now?
Yeah, well, Fianna Fáil's shins were kicked because they didn't get the job, and I think Fine Gael people were pretty annoyed that it didn't go to one of theirs.
As for the Greens,
the Greens just let this through on the nod. There wasn't a murmur out of it.
All right, David, very quick point. We all get
a bird's eye view of the Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meetings. We get the tweets coming out and we can see what's happening. We saw last week that one junior Fine Gael minister tried to trap
no
a senior minister.
No such leaks in Sinn Féin, of course.
Well, absolutely not. But we had one junior minister trying to trap a senior minister. And all we're getting from Fergus here is excuse after excuse.
No excuses,
and
David.
That's what you're getting. You're not facing up to the reality that this damages politics. And I didn't interrupt you. This damages politics. It damages the credibility of the public health guidelines, and it damages people's confidence when we have this type of cronyism. The fact that you can't even see it as that, again, just illustrates to people that you're so out of touch and your government is so out of touch, you don't even see the wrong in what's happening.
OK, we're going over the same ground here. I want to move things on a little bit. The bishops defying the COVID rules on communions and confirmations, Christina. Are the guidelines discriminatory, do you think, or are the bishops just flying in the face of science?
Yeah, I thought there was really interesting comments this week when they were questioned about whether these would go ahead or not. And they again pointed to the Marian incident and other issues that are going on or other events that are going on.
Johnny got to do this, I want to do it
exactly
too.
And I think that's what it's come down to at this point in time. We're almost a year over this. And it's an inherent unfairness, I think, that people are feeling, and a sense of, as we said, with the Marian issue, Marian Hotel issue, accountability. But it comes down, I think, now to public trust. And that's sort of been in the narrative the last while for Micheál Martin about personal responsibility and all the rest. But if we're going to do that, and that's the message that's going out to people, I think telling people that if they have communion or confirmation and, oh God, they couldn't be trusted to have the party after. I think that's just, at this point, we've come so far that I'm not sure that message, particularly in the situation that we're in right now, is going to wash with
and
people.
And Fergus O'Dowd, would you accept now, because you have spent all of your political capital, you have none left, you are in no position to do anything other than bow to the bishops for fear of a belt of the crozier?
Well, I'm a parent and a grandparent, and I accept absolutely that children really look forward to it. It's a right of their family, and it's a right of their religion to celebrate that in forced communion or confirmation. And I know how important that is and how central it is, you know, to growing up as children.
It could be just as important in December. It doesn't have to happen
now. Of course
it
will be. No, but I think the point is, if the health advice is that they can be held, they should be. And if they can be held outdoors, there's no reason why they shouldn't be. And the point is, what we're trying to do now is protect our school children by having vaccinations open. A very successful vaccination programme now between 12 and 16.
Yeah, no, I know that, but are you trying to wriggle out of the present controversy, Fergus, here you go, ladies and gentlemen, you can have your communion and your confirmation. Please, just don't talk about Catherine's opponent anymore.
No, it's not you can talk about anybody you want. I think everybody wants, every parent wants their children to have their festival, their confirmation, their Holy Communion, but they want to have it safely. And if the advice is go ahead as soon as possible, that's what I want. That's what everybody I know wants.
David, what does Sinn Féin
want? Reality at the end of the day.
Well, I do want to see communions and confirmations go ahead, but in a safe way. I think we're all in agreement that we want to see that happen and in line with the public health advice.
But in a safe way in December, is that what you'd be prepared to tell people?
If you look at what happened before we came on air, we have updated guidelines in relation to outdoor hospitality. What we were told was that the concern from public health officials was less about the event in the church, but more about the hospitality events afterwards. Now that that has changed and we now know that 200 people can attend a social event outdoors, I think it needs to be looked at. There needs to be engagement, obviously, with those who are advocating for the events to go ahead. And there needs to be consistency, because that's the problem here. We can't have more inconsistency where you're telling people you can have an outdoor event of up to 200 people at a social event in a bar, hotel, restaurant, but you can't have a confirmation or communion. So it's up to the government now with the public health officials to bring some consistency to this. So far, they haven't done that and they've damaged the public health advice. And I think you're right. They'll find it very difficult now not to be able to push back against this because of a problem that they created themselves.
Shane Ross?
Yeah, I think the bishops were right. I think they were wrong to tell their priests to defy the law and the regulations, but I think they were right to complain because they're entitled to consistency and there is no consistency in what's happening here. And the imagery of it is all totally wrong. When the Archbishop referred to the bash at the Merrion, which is very unclerical, by the way, which is a very good visual. He was contrasting it with the fact that he couldn't have a communion at all himself. And it's a fair complaint.
All right. I'm afraid that is all that I have time for. Shane Ross, thank you very much. Christina Finn, David Cullinan and Fergus O'Dowd, to all four of you, thank you very much for joining us this morning.